Hey, everybody. This is David. Thanks for joining me with the Wonderful World Podcast today. And we're going to talk about an interesting subject because there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to deal with in the news in the world and how it affects our Christian walk and really affects how we think. And so today we're going to challenge the God of Facebook and social media and all the avenues that we have. We have so many avenues to social media, and I know that it is brand new. So we're going to be confronting that and dealing with that. Thanks a lot for the response from the last podcast with Susan as our guest, and we talked about death and how we deal with that from a practical and theological perspective. So let's deal with another subject from a practical and theological perspective. If you want to be a part of the show and contribute to what we are doing here, you can go to patreon.com/life180, patreon.com/life180, and you can become a supporter. And there's some benefits, and we'll be in the month of June, we'll be tweaking all of that and getting those things up to date. But I just want to get right in today to the subject of social media. So we've been dealing with this. Actually, I've dealt with this in our church family here and how we've kind of deal with that. And one of the things we talked about is that we're the salt of the earth and we're here to make people thirsty and not sick. And I really believe that we have an addiction problem in America, and that addiction is with social media. And it is something that is definitely something we need to learn. We need to learn to disconnect. We need to learn to dramatically cut back. I know my wife and I both have done that recently because you find out that there's more harm than good sometimes. You're letting, as a matter of fact, I use it like this. I told her I would never wake up in the morning and just call 30, 40 people and say, hey, speak something negative into my life this morning. And but that's exactly what we're doing with social media. You know, we're going to Facebook, to Twitter, to Instagram, to whatever social media of your choice. And we're dialing into that, and we're letting the negativity of that just start speaking volumes into our life. And so I want to talk about that. So I'm going to share a couple of articles with you. And then I'm going to share something I recently shared with our church and also posted on social media myself to help you with that. Now, understand something about social media. Let's just start this up front. Social media is a tool, and how you use that tool. Social media is something that it can be used for good, and just like anything else, it can be used for evil. It's what we do with that that's really important. And so that's what we're talking about. We're not saying, you know, that's kind of like saying that a brick is bad. Well, a brick is a brick. You know, you can throw it through a window and do something bad with it, or you can help use a brick to build a house or a hospital. So it's good with anything. I think it's also, the analogy is good as a tool. Anybody that's, maybe you've been in a situation where you're using a wrench to hammer a nail into the wall because you couldn't find the hammer. You might eventually get it done, but it's not as efficient because it wasn't designed for that. And I think we also need to understand the power of the tool of social media and how it can be used for good. Now, understand, there are people that are using it for a tool for negative, too. So we're trying to turn this into the positive that it needs to be, because we're not going to have a wonderful world if we continue to let the negative soak in here. So let me give you a couple articles. And these two guys are both Christians, both professing Christians, and fairly popular. I don't know if you'll know their name, but I'll tell you who they are. So the first one, the article is called Like a Tweet, Lose a Lease. And it is from Tony Perkins. Now, if you don't know who Tony Perkins is, he is the president of the Family Research Council, a very conservative group. And Tony Perkins has been a part of that group for, I don't know if Family Research Council, but I think he's started it. But he's been a part of that for years and years and years. And as well as many other conservative think tanks and places. But he writes this article. He says, most people don't scroll through their Twitter feed thinking a few simple clicks will change their life. But for Birmingham pastor Chris Hodges, who he says has been a friend of mine for years, a handful of likes were all it took to make the biggest church in Alabama homeless. Now, they're not totally homeless. As you hear the article, you'll find out. You can lose your lease a lot of ways. Fall behind on payments, abuse property, follow conservative media. Chris Hodges probably didn't think that a quick tap of support for post on Donald Trump or China's role in the coronavirus would amount to much of anything. Turns out he was wrong because a local English teacher decided to catalog his likes. I'm not sure why somebody has time to do that, but and share them. I didn't even know you could do that, by the way, a while back till somebody pointed it out. You can actually go to somebody's Twitter page, and I think it's on the far right. I actually looked at it today to see if I was right. On the far right, there's like the heart there, and you can see the things that they've liked. I didn't know you could do that. And I'm not sure why you'd want to scroll through that, but maybe you would. But they scrolled. She went through and shared them with the press. Little did anyone know it would be the beginning of the end of the church's services at two local high schools. Jasmine Clisby was her name. And she said openly, "I do not attend Church of the Highlands. I can't see into Pastor Chris Hodges' heart, but his support for what she considered, quote, culturally insensitive views is troubling." She said without a hint of irony, "I would be upset if it comes off as me judging him." Well, that's kind of what it is. She says, "I'm not saying he's a racist, but thanks to your smear campaign, the Birmingham Board of Education is." On Tuesday night, members voted to abruptly terminate the church's lease. They had a six-year relationship that brought the city almost $1 million in revenue. Let's see. They rented Parker and Woodland High Schools for their diverse congregation of about 60,000. Wow. So like I said, they're not totally homeless. These were like multi-site places that they met, but this was a huge place. Now this is back to him speaking. Because of this manufactured controversy, the church's Christ Health Clinic will also be banned from operating, according to the Birmingham Housing Authority, who decided Monday to ban the volunteer workers. Their statement said, "Commissioners agree that Pastor Hodges' view do not reflect those of the Housing Authority and its residents." Skipping on down, it says that means there will be no more free COVID testing, no more free mentoring, health, or social ministry. And listen to this sentence. "All because Pastor Chris dared to do what millions of Americans do every day, engage on social media." Now, let me say this. I completely, completely disagree with the idea that, you know, people are going to go through your social media accounts and base everything that happens off of that. However, when we do engage in the public square, and you have to admit, in this day and age, social media is the public square. And I think we're having to come to that conclusion that we didn't once come to. Social media is very much the public square. You're going to say, "Well, no, it's my private words." I get that. But this is basically now me on a virtual street corner speaking my opinion. And when you do that, you're engaging on social media, and there can be good consequences, there can be bad consequences. And I'm not saying about right or wrong here. What I'm trying to get you to see is that we are speaking in the public square. Now, it goes on to say that Pastor Hodges did the humble and gracious thing, telling his congregation and the community that he was sorry for any hurt he'd caused. He called it a mistake. He said he owned it. He pledged to never mindlessly scroll again and explain how he was trying to use his influence to heal the hurts of these difficult times. Now, this is back to Tony Perkins' words. "None of that mattered to the mob, who not only ignored Pastor Chris' work in their neighborhoods, but the church's standing in the minority community." And I understand we are in sometimes a mob rules type thing, but you know, just know that that's a possibility. "At least a third of the Highlands congregations," I'm reading from the article, "are Black and Hispanic. Hodges was respected for fighting the disenfranchised, preaching about healing and reconciliation. As recently as last Sunday, he called the city to mutual understanding, peace, and prayer. But this, quote, cancel culture, in this, quote, cancel culture, those 20 years of bridge building don't matter to liberals bent on burning down any platform but their own." Now, that is obviously Tony Perkins' opinion. Once again, let me say, I don't know, no, not once again. I've never said this before on here. I've said it many times in my life. The words conservative and liberal are relative. And by that, here's what I mean. It's relative to my perspective. So if I think you're liberal, that means you're to the left of me. If I think you're conservative, that means you're to the right of me. That's just a label that we put on that. So there are those, this is funny, but there are those who would probably consider certain views I have and call me a liberal. And then there are people on the other side that would call me a conservative, because that is a relative word. So when he uses the word liberal here, just know that that's a relative term. I do want you to notice, this was the last paragraph here that I saw. Imagine if we held everyone by that standard. If we combed through these public servants' accounts, what would we find? Political objectivity or the raging hatred and bitterness that's led to these baseless attacks? I would love for you, Pastor Hodges, urge to not just look at a microscopic zoom in, but look at the totality of 37 years of ministry and 19 years as a church. Now, understand, I get what Pastor Hodges is saying. I get what Tony Perkins is saying. But know, just know that in our society today, you can have 37 or you can have 67 years of great service. But as soon as you step on that line in social media and it's there, I remember years ago, people would say, if you're going to, don't write it down. Well, now we're putting it where it's easy to find. As somebody, you say, well, I can remove it later. Somebody can take a screenshot of it. They can grab it. They can go back and find it. It's there. So just know that we are stepping into this world. That's just what we have to come to a conclusion. And it's not popular, but it's just reality. It's just reality. And I hate it for this church. I hate it for the people in this community. From everything I know and have ever read about this church, it's a good church, Church of the Highlands, but it's just the reality of the situation we're in today. Social media is where everybody is unfortunately even getting their news. And so we need to know that how people deal with social media is important. So check yourself, check what you're going to like before you like it. Check the content all around it. How many times, I know it's happened to me, I've shared something and not realized the entire content or context of what was being said, and immediately, oh my goodness, I regret that. I want to go back and, get it again. So you just have to know that. You've got to be able to be ready for that. Now, how do we deal with this as Christians? And what is the theological implication? That comes from a second article. And this one is by Ed Stetzer. Ed Stetzer, he writes this in Christianity Today. If you don't know who Ed Stetzer is, he's been in Christian circles for quite a while as a church planner, as an author, and really kind of a leader among church planning in, I guess at one time in the Southern Baptist Convention, and he may still be in the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm not 100% sure of that. But that's where I first heard of him from, is the church planning that he was doing with that group. He writes this article, and it's called Gullibility is Not a Spiritual Gift. I loved the title, I have to tell you. He says, as followers of Jesus, we are people of the truth. So falling for and spreading conspiracy theories does not honor the Lord, but it does cause people to question our judgment. Wow, what a first sentence or a first paragraph. And I'll say that again. So gullibility is not a spiritual gift. As followers of Jesus, we are people of the truth. People of the truth. Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Of course, Jesus himself said in John 14, I am truth. And then he said, falling for and spreading conspiracy theories does not honor the Lord, but it does not. But it does cause people to question our judgment. In the article, Ed says, the current global pandemic has created a bumper crop of conspiracy theories. Sadly, Christians seem to be disproportionately fooled by conspiracy theories. He has a link to that. I've also said before that when Christians spread lies, they need to repent of those lies. Sharing fake news makes us look foolish and harms our witness. It harms our witness because we are to be people of the truth. And he gives two words of advice. First, we need to speak up, particularly to those fooled yet again, and lovingly say, you need to go to trusted sources. So if you see somebody that's constantly on social media and they're a believer, they're a friend or a family member, and somebody that is constantly sharing these things, maybe we just need to say, hey, have you checked your sources on this? I mean, do you know that this is accurate? Ask the question. Now, if they come back and say, hey, I did the research, and here's my resource for this and why I back it up, okay, fine. But why not ask the question when there's some things that are obvious conspiracy theories? Second, it says, God has not called us to be easily fooled. Gullibility is not a Christian virtue. Now, it may make you feel better, like you're in the know, but it can end up harming others, and it can hurt your witness. So we're to have a great amount of wisdom, and we're to look deeply. As a matter of fact, my family the other night was studying Proverbs 8, and we were studying that together and talking through it. And the conclusion we came to, looking at that proverb, and I encourage you to read it, is wisdom is from God. Before the foundation of the world, there was wisdom. And so no wonder James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He is that source of wisdom. So God, give me wisdom before I post on social media. Give me wisdom before I read something and try to comprehend it. We desperately need wisdom. The article goes on to say, I understand the mistrust many Christians have toward the media and government. And I do too. I get it. Pew Research indicated that the most likely people to believe the virus was created, now he's talking about the coronavirus, the COVID-19. Pew Research indicated the most likely people to believe the virus was created in a lab were Republicans, who tend to be the most religious and most distrustful of government. However, this mistrust too often leads believers to become more gullible rather than more discerning. And I've had people tell me that they have the gift of discernment. Now, I believe this. Every person has the ability to discern, because if you have the Holy Spirit within you and you just have the mind, he gave you the knowledge to know right from wrong. And so we need to be able to have some discernment instead of just be gullible in those sources. It says God's word calls us to be wise, not unwise. Ephesians 5:15. Look it up. We are to be wise, not unwise. And when we're unwise, that's not of God. And it's not something to be proud of, and it's not something to rejoice in. We have legitimate questions at times, and we need to ask those legitimate questions. That's all well and good. And those kind of questions are being asked. But when we get into stunning theories, he talks about some conspiracy theories about biological warfare, nefarious vaccine plans, plots to wipe out religious liberty, 5G cell towers spreading disease. I mean, it goes on and on and on. When those fill up social media, and when it's self-identified Christians, it says once again, we're losing our credibility. We're losing our reliability, and we are supposed to be, as people that follow Jesus and people that share the word, people of truth. And if conspiracy theories are coming in without any validation, then we have lost our credibility with people who are looking for answers. Too many Christians believe all is fair in some wars. And in that article, this is Ed talking, I warned against breaking the eighth commandment, Exodus 20:16, about bearing false witness. We aren't to be driven by fear or anger, but by a desire for speaking the truth in, what's the word? Love. Ephesians 4:15. Speaking the truth in love. Now, if one of these theories is true, and we have, how we speak it is just as important as what we speak. So let us first speak the truth, and then let us do it in love. If we don't know it's the truth, don't speak it. Don't speak it in the first place. Spreading unproven speculation, as Ed says, is bearing false witness. We need to spend more time in God's word and less time being influenced by social media trolls and clickbait. And clickbait is huge. That line that grabs you and that you're like, oh, is that true? it might not be. And you might really need to check your sources on that before you go any further. Ed says this, and I am going to wholeheartedly agree with what Ed says here, okay? If you still insist on spreading such misinformation, would you please consider taking Christian off your bio so the rest of us don't have to share in the embarrassment? Can I say that again? If you still insist on spreading such misinformation that you know or do not know is true, would you please consider taking Christian off your bio so the rest of us don't have to share in the embarrassment? You're ultimately bringing harm to yourself and your community. And I believe this is so true. You may make yourself feel like you're making a difference when you are not. As a matter of fact, I would say to you that most of the time, very little people are actually listening, and very few people are taking you as credible anyway. Austin Jones tweeted this. Last week, this is right around Easter. Last week, my Facebook feed was full of people posting crazy COVID conspiracy theories, followed by a post about evidence for the resurrection. I don't think they realize the message they are actually sending. Do you grasp what he's saying? I'm telling you that Jesus, God who became man, which is hard enough for people to understand, died on a cross to pay for the sins of all of mankind. And then 3 days later, he did what we cannot fathom. He rose from the dead, a bodily resurrection. It wasn't figurative. He literally, physically came out of the grave and was seen and was touched and spoke to people. And for 40 days, see, you understand? Do you get what I'm saying here? This is the one of the central parts of the gospel message. I want you to know this truth, but then at the same time, I'm sharing things that may not be true and I am not informed about, and you see where we're losing credibility. So the article concludes, let us continue to provoke one another to good works, hold to what is true, and refuse that which is false. Refuse that which is false. So we talked about this. I do a Tuesday night live on Facebook with our church family at Lighthouse Brunswick, and we get to interact a little bit, and I get to share with them. So I was very concerned about this just a couple weeks ago, and seeing the explosion of everything that is happening in our society, everything from the coronavirus to the murder of George Floyd, to the rioting and looting, and then of course the peaceful. There's just so much going on, so much going on, and the way the media covers it. So I think we all understand there are a number of issues. But I dealt with this just a couple weeks ago, and I used Colossians 4:6, which tells us to let our grace be seasoned with salt. Let us speak with grace and season with salt. And that's why I said we're just supposed to be salt to make people thirsty and not sick. And what I did that night is gave them some advice. So I'm going to share this quickly with you, some social media advice and questions, and I'll try not to elaborate on them too far. But I would just, you know, these were just some thoughts I had, and I want to share those with you because I think it can help social media to become a tool, as we talked about, to build up what we don't want it to be as a weapon to tear down. We want to make people thirsty, not sick, but we have a choice in that. We want to be an encourager. Think of the psalm, let the words of our mouth and meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. So let me give you these, and I'll wrap up today. I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them, and I'll, so they'll share these quickly. First of all, if one of your first thoughts when you read, hear, or see something is to post it to social media, you have an addiction problem. And I really do believe that we have an addiction problem to social media. I'm watching people that are posting 10, 20 times, 30 times a day. what's going on? Why do you need to do that? As a matter of fact, the most successful people in the world did not become the most successful people because they posted it on social media. They became successful because they connected with people and they had something that people needed, wanted, could use. They served people. Listen, we've got an addiction problem. I mean, if we saw somebody, let's just be honest, if we saw somebody picking up a bottle of alcohol or a drug 20 to 30 times a day, and that's all they could think about, and every time something happened, they thought back about that, we would say, you've got a problem, and you need to get that fixed. And it's the same for us. If one of your first thoughts when you read, hear, or see something is to post to social media, you have an addiction problem. Second is this, if you wouldn't say it in front of a large group of people or in person, don't say it on social media. Now, that's not complicated. If you wouldn't say it in front of a large group of people or in person, if you're not going to say it to somebody face-to-face, don't put it on social media. It is a cowardly way out, and it's also sometimes our anonymous way out. It's easy to hide behind our keyboard or a Facebook page and spew all kinds of things, where if we were sitting in the same room, people wouldn't say those things. Some of the arguments I watch, people wouldn't say those things if they were face-to-face. So why do we think it's okay to do it on social media? The third one is this. What is your motive for the post you're putting up? And let's be honest, so many times we have motives. If our motivation is gotcha, if our motivation is I'm going to prove my point, if our motivation is anything but sincere, anything but Christ-like, anything but loving, anything but edifying, why post it? Why post it? As a matter of fact, the fourth one is this. If it doesn't edify or encourage, don't post it. Now, I know people complain sometimes, oh, I'm tired of seeing people's kids. I'd rather see people's picture of their kids or their grandkids or what they did, that they went to the beach yesterday or they went fishing. I'd rather see that anytime than a lot of discouraging stuff. If it doesn't edify, if it doesn't encourage, just don't post it. Because our calling as believers in this world is to edify, to encourage, and to build up. So if it doesn't do that, don't post it. And the fifth one is exactly what I just talked about, spent most of the time on this podcast. If you can't verify the information or credibility of the source, you may be spreading a lie. I would say if you can't verify it, you probably are spreading a lie. Now, I know that people are going to say, well, you know what, some of these fact-check sites, they're liberal or they're conservative or they're, I get that. I understand that. But I want to be able to verify some things. I want to verify the source. You know, what's the credibility of my source? You know, if that source is not credible and they have known to spread false rumors, then probably just need to go ahead and find another source and just not share that one. If I can't verify this information, if it seems too outlandish, it probably is. And we don't want to be guilty of spreading a lie. If we're not speaking the truth and we're speaking a lie, we know whose father that is. Just read some scripture. Six, ask yourself if Jesus would approve of your post or if he would post it himself. And I know some of you are going to be like, oh, that's a Jesus juke. And if you don't know what a Jesus juke is, that's when you just throw Jesus into something just to kind of throw somebody off. But I'm serious about this. The old, what would Jesus do? Yeah. Would he post this? Would he approve of this? If he wouldn't, then don't post it. Don't post it. You know, we are supposed to be the salt and the light. We're supposed to be the voice in this world. So let's evaluate that. And then finally, evaluate whether people would know more about Jesus or your political leanings if they were to scroll through your timeline. Now, I put political leanings. It could be any number of things. Evaluate whether people would know more about Jesus or your political leanings if they were to scroll through your timeline. As a believer in Christ, there ought to be times that I am speaking and being seen of Christ. I mean, and so are people like, okay, he is a Democrat, he is a Republican, he is this, he is a supporter of this person, a supporter of that person, or would they know that I walk with Jesus? What conclusion would they come to more? And that is a real challenge for us, because who is our God? Who is our God? Now, I'm talking about social media, and some of you are immediately like, oh, I can't get off of it. hey, you can, and you may need to. But we really need to focus on this because we have a truth. We have the truth, and we have the truth to tell. We have the truth to spread. And if we're spreading a lie at the same time we're trying to spread truth, it's just not going to work. So yes, let our final words be, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in the sight of our God. Because he is listening. As a matter of fact, we are going to give account, he says, for every idle word. Boy, we didn't assume social media. We talk about the tongue. But that's not just what you say. We have all kinds of avenues to speak now. So let us be cognizant and aware of that. Because we've got good things to tell. There's so much good in this world. There's so much good that God is doing. There's so many blessings. I just read something last night on social media from one of a young lady that I've known her entire life. And just hearing how God was working in her life and how she shared that with some issues she was facing and how uplifting that was and how people just gravitated to it. I watched it, people just gravitated to it. They're looking for something, and we have something good to share. So let's share it, and let's be real about it. Because you know what? I want this to be a wonderful world just like you want it to be a wonderful world. And I can't wait for the world to come. But until then, I'm going to share the truth the most I can. Hey, God bless. Thanks for joining me. See you again next week.